Well, if you want to open up your Bibles to Romans 12, 1 today. All right, Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says in the first verse that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That we bring our bodies to God. We control our bodies in a way that we are sacrificing to God. That we do what we can on this earth to forward the principles and the cause of God on this earth. And verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't do things the way the world does it. We are Christians. God created the world. He created man with a certain purpose in mind, but Adam sinned and it brought sin into this world and it brought the devil into this world and it destroyed and corrupted the world the way God created it. People wonder why there are certain things, sickness, disease, just tragedy and all that. It's because sin is in the world. Things are not the same today as they were when God originally created the world. So we're Christians. We're back reconciled to God to live the life that God purposed for man to live originally. So that's different than the way the world has become. So anything that we decide or in our lives that we purpose to do, we have to make sure it lines up with the way God has created us to operate, the way God wants us to live our lives, and the way we find that out is by looking in the Word of God. We don't look at the world or principles or some self-help book or anything. If they're not based on the Word of God or its principles, we're not to conform ourselves to that. We're to conform ourselves. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Like it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do we renew our mind with? We renew it with the Word of God, with what is in here, with what God set out as the way we are to live life on this earth. It's not the way somebody else says we're supposed to live our life. If it's not solidly based on the Word of God, then we can get off. We can start going in a wrong direction because we're not transforming our mind. I mean, do you realize we renew our mind with things, whether they're the Word of God or not? You know, we all have been programmed, our minds have been programmed with something. All throughout our life, from childhood, we've been programmed with something. Something has entered our brains from the time we were born on, as children, through our parents, through schools, whatever. We have been programmed through TV, through books we read. We've been programmed. We've put things in. Our mind was set on something. And so that has produced results in our lives because we view life a certain way, we view the world a certain way, we act a certain way because we've programmed our mind a certain way. And if we're not careful, we'll just continue. I mean, all of us, we live in this world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world. And it's so easy to go over and to start being conformed to the world because we continue to have those influences come into us, whether it's TV, whether it's movies, whether it's books, magazines. It doesn't matter the medium, what other people are saying. There's a constant pressure for us to be conformed to what the world is doing. You know, we can call it peer pressure, whatever. When you see a teenager in junior high or high school, it's very tempting for that teenager to be conformed to what his peers are doing. And it changes all the time. But we all know, we've all been there. There's just such a pull to be conformed to what your friends are doing, to be conformed to what they're doing. And so everybody's wearing the same clothes. I remember when I was, you know, in junior high in the mid-80s, Coca-Cola shirts were the big, I shouldn't even say the word, but, you know, there was Coca-Cola shirts were big. I mean, literally just, I mean, dress type polo looking shirts, but they had Coca-Cola written on them. And I wanted one of those so bad. Why in the world? Because everybody else had one. So I finally got one for my birthday or something. But it just changes consistently. All the kids start looking the same. And then that something goes out of style, so then the next thing comes. And they all look the same. Because everybody's trying to be like everybody else. They're trying to conform to what they see as cool, to what they see they need to do to be accepted. Well, as adults, we do the same thing. We see images projected to us all around us, whether it's through the people around us and what they're doing and talking like and the ideas they have or through media or through books we read. Just there's a constant bombardment trying to conform us to an image, trying to conform us to something. And we have to be aware, what is that image that we're if we're not careful, we'll be conformed into. Is it the image of God? Is it the image of Christ? Is it the image of the Word? Or is it some other image that we can be duped into following, into being conformed to that? God says, the Holy Spirit through Paul says here, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. To be transformed by what we put in here. Like I said, we've been programming our minds all throughout our life with something, or it's being programmed for us. And so the way we transform ourselves is by reprogramming or putting something different in there. To where that becomes our worldview and that transforms our life, it doesn't matter what it is. Like I said, it doesn't have to be the Word of God. People reprogram their minds with all kinds of stuff to change their behavior. But if those whatever we're programming ourselves with is not solidly based on the Word, it's not going to be the results we want. The results we want what God wants for us. We want God's will for our lives. We want what His plan is. We want His best, and His best is outlined here. And the Holy Spirit knows us. He knows where we're going. He knows how to get us there. And so if we'll transform our minds with the Word, then we'll be on the path to be true living sacrifices, like it says in verse 1, for God. We'll be truly living sacrifices. We'll be sacrifices used for God. Wherever we go, we're basically an extension of God on this earth. Just like Jesus walked around, Jesus walked in the will of God perfectly. He didn't have any of the flaws we have. He didn't have any bad programming. He had God Himself as His Father. He was God. He didn't have sin in His life. And so He heard the Holy Spirit perfectly. He walked around perfectly, and He was God, but He was a perfect. He did the will of God on the earth. He said, "You want to know what the will of the Father is? You look at the Son. The Son was a reflection of the Father. He was a reflection of. He was an extension of God's will on the earth. Well, we are Christians, which means we're after Christ. We're supposed to just be the same way. Where wherever we go, we are being extensions of His will. So we have sacrificed ourselves." Jesus, first of all, sacrificed Himself for us. So we, in turn, because He did that, are sacrificing ourselves for Him and giving ourselves to His cause, which means that as we walk around and go about our life on this earth, that we are an extension of God's will. We're doing what He would want us to do. We're living sacrifices. But the way we're going to be the most effective is when we transform our minds. We're transformed by the renewing our minds to what the Word says, so that we can be an effective living sacrifice and an effective extension of His will. And the more we get the Word of God and His will programmed into our minds, the more automatically we're going to, without even trying, walk around being an extension of His will. We'll know what to do in situations because we know what the Word of God says. It's changed our outlook on life. When something comes into our life, some challenge or something, we look at it based on the Word of God. We look at it the way God looks at it so we can have God's results and we can walk through that. Our ultimate goal is to walk through it just like Jesus would walk through it. And that's not blasphemy. We are children of Almighty God. That's why Jesus came, is to restore the life that He originally had for us, God originally had for us on this earth. So when we walk around God, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He was God Himself, but we have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We can walk according to His power. And the more yielded we are, the more we've yielded our life, the more we've sacrificed our life to be transformed after Him, the more yielded we are, the more closely we'll let that power flow through us. We'll let that will flow through us, because there's not going to be hindrances up here always, you know, stopping the flow of what God wants to do. Our mind is lined up with His mind, so then there's no hesitancy, there's no barrier. The more our mind is lined up with something else, it's like God wants to do something, but our mind's in the way in a totally different direction. And so God can't get done what He wants to do, but the more we transform our minds to the Word of God, then we just come up levels to where we think like God thinks. And then we can truly live the life that God wants us to live. Let's turn to Ephesians 1:15. I'll read a couple verses there. Ephesians 1:15. Ephesians 1:15. We'll read the section. We've read this many times, but there's a certain part that I want to emphasize. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He said in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That you would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Again, your knowledge, your mind, renewing your mind. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, you're renewing, just like it said in the verse we read previously, and you're renewing the spirit of your mind, the spirit that your understanding is being enlightened. Enlightened to what? Enlightened to what the way God thinks. Your mind is coming over to be enlightened with the way God sees things. So you don't look at something darkly in some other understanding. You look at it the way God sees it, and you look at it with the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know then what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory and His inheritance in the saints. He's talking about now that you would know what is reality. What is it to be a Christian? What has been restored to us? How is our life supposed to be acted out? You know that because your eyes have been enlightened to the way God thinks through the Word of God. So that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So that you would know how to be a living sacrifice. You would know where to go and what to do and how to do it. And you would know what His will is for you. You would be enlightened to know this is what God wants me to do. And I know His will on the subject and I know His word on the subject. So this is the way I'm going to act and we can be effective. And He says then that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. That we would know the greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That we would get a hold of the fact that the power of God is toward us, it's to flow through us in our lives, that would not just be something that we've heard, that it would impact our lives so that when we're in daily, everyday life, at our jobs, in relationships that we would be so, our minds would be so renewed and we would be so transformed that that would be such a reality to us that every moment of every day we would be aware of the fact that that power of God that raised Christ from the dead is flowing in us. And then when some obstacle comes up and something, some challenge in our life comes, we don't wither away and back away. We say, the power of God is with me. I have transformed. We don't have to say this. It's just that it comes out of us because our minds have been transformed and we've been transformed that we react to things differently. That we see things differently. That when we come to something, we are enlightened to the way God sees it, and we can be effective. We don't shrink away and get beat up and thrown to the side, that we are effective for God. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That He raised Christ from the dead, seated Him in heavenly places, at His right hand in heavenly places, far above every principality and power and might, above every demonic power, above every power of the enemy, above all that is real, and that is in the world, but we are aware that that power that is in Christ is in us, that raised Him from the dead is in us, and that when we are aware of that, we can go through life, we can do what He wants us to do, and we're aware that that power is with us, and if that power is with us, what can stand in our way? What can challenge us day by day? It might be a challenge, but we know if God Almighty has put the same power in us that raised Christ from the dead, that that spiritual reality becomes, that transforms us. It doesn't become something we've read. It in our real life becomes something that it's transformed us to where we act just like Jesus. When something comes against us, it's Satan, get thee behind me. I'm going on with God. And don't be deceived into thinking there is not a spiritual realm or there is not an enemy at work to try to stop what each of us is doing on this earth. There absolutely is. And if we're aware of that and we're aware of the price that Jesus paid to give us His power to overcome it, then we will be victors and we'll be doing exactly what He would have us to do on this earth. And we'll be victorious doing it. And we'll go right on to be with Him when we've succeeded here, knowing that we've done what He wanted us to do. And we can enjoy life while we're doing it. Let's turn to just a couple chapters back to Ephesians 4:20. It says, let's just go back to verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. That sounds a lot like what we just read in Romans. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the way the rest of the world walks. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. See, we just talked about our understanding being enlightened. People have their understanding darkened. They're blinded. They don't see life the way it really is. Having their understanding darkened, and we can be that way too. If we're not renewing our mind with the Word of God, we can be just as dark, even though we have that power of God residing in us. Even though the power of Christ is there, if our minds darken, we don't know about it, we can't use it. We won't know to use it. It's like having this great weapon stored in the trunk of our car and being attacked, and we can't use the thing because we don't know it's there. If our mind doesn't know about it, we can't utilize it. So verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Being alienated from the life of God. This life that we're talking about. You're alienated if you don't know what you have or haven't heard of Jesus and believed on Him. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So these people are darkened. They don't have any clue about life. They're going on doing stuff that they shouldn't do because they're blind. And we have to be careful that we don't do stuff that we shouldn't do because we're blind in some area. That's why we renew our minds with the Word of God. He says, verse 20, "But you, but us, but we, have not learned so, or not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness." So you haven't learned the way these other people are walking in Christ. So we should put off our former conduct, put off the things that aren't godly, put off the things that aren't going after God's principles, God's ways, God's will. We put off that old man, and because we've been renewed, because we were transformed when we believed on God, when we were born again, we put on that new man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is the same thing we started with in Romans, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That we put off the old junk and everything that goes along with it, and that we would be renewed in the spirit of our mind to know that we are really a new man, that we really have all these things, that God's power, God's love, God's His supply, His resources are on our side, and that if we walk around as just an extension of God here, you know, we're ambassadors for Christ, that the more we renew our mind to that fact, the more we look to the new man, that we're not this old man, we're a new man created in righteousness and holiness, and then we walk around with that awareness. And we don't walk around blind like the world. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God so that we don't end up blind like the world. And we don't look to them to determine what we're going to do. Well, maybe I should do that because these people are doing that. If they're blind, I mean, would you follow a blind person? He's going, you know, he's trying to get downtown, and let's say somebody doesn't have a clue where they're at. They can't find anything, and you decide, well, I want to get to town too. I'm going to go follow them. You wouldn't do that. I mean, unless the person really knew where they were going. But let's say, I mean, they had no clue. They're blind. And they don't have any resources to try to get there. And you decide that seems like a pretty good idea to follow the blind person when they don't know where they're going. That would be completely foolish. Yet, if we're Christians, we're to be enlightened in the way God thinks and the way His Word says. And then we listen to people. Or if we're not careful, what I'm saying is that people's views of the way life is, if it's not based on the Word of God, they're blind, and they say, well, this sounds like a pretty good idea, or this sounds like a pretty good idea. I think maybe we should do this, or this is reasonable. And if we're not careful, we let that in and start following that, when all the time they're blind. They're going in the wrong direction. They may sound smart, and they may sound like they have a good reason, but if it's not based on the Word of God, they can be deceived, and we'll be deceived right along with them. That's why we have to let the Word be our authority and go back to this and make sure that we're following God and make sure we're going on with His principles and His will for our life, even if it flies in the face of everything the world says, or even if it flies in the face of anything that seems like, you know, what we've heard or been programmed we should do. We have to let the Word of God renew our minds so that it's the authority, that God's the authority. That we walk in His power because of what He said, and not be conformed like the teenager, you know, to the group. Say, wait a minute, what is all this? What? Yeah, everybody may be saying this and doing this, but is that right? If it's not right, I don't care if I'm one in a million. I'm going this way, and I'm going to go after God. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this: "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't get sidetracked by the things of this life, by things that are temporary, by light affliction, whatever that is, that we're following God, that we're being living sacrifices for God, that we're determined that we're going to do His will on this earth and go after Him, and we're going to renew our mind. And there's things that obstacles that hinder us or that are in our way. And it's tempting to let that detour us in some way. And He's saying right here, we don't lose heart. For our light affliction, whatever it is in this life, it doesn't hold a candle to what we're going to experience when we go to the other side. And right now, it is worth it in this life to go after God, to be sacrifices for Him, to be going after His will, to be enlightened to His word so that we can experience life. God does not say we're not going to have anything come against us or there's not going to be an obstacles, but Jesus had obstacles come against Him, by even death, but He was the victor. And so we can be the victor through all that, going after God, and let, you know, our new man is being renewed day by day. And we can look at the things which aren't seen, which is God, which is the spiritual realm, be aware of those things and do things based on that. Do things based on our what the Word of God says and the way we renew in our mind and be transformed into walking just as Jesus walked in the newness of our mind. And then going through life and not being deterred, not losing heart, but going with joy, just walking in what God has for us and being renewed. Just constantly being renewed. And it's a process, but our minds are being renewed. Getting rid of all the other stuff we've been programmed with, maybe throughout our life, through all these different sources, what the world's trying to put in, and putting in God's word so that we just have His mind and we walk right along with Him. And then even when the obstacles are there, our mind is still filled with His will and sees those obstacles as they really are, in light of God and His power and the power of Christ and the way God sees it. And then we can just go right through them just like Jesus would. Just like Him. Just to go after Him.